What's up, everybody? It's your boy Trey, back with another episode of the Today with Trey podcast. It's been a while. I've been gone for almost 2 weeks now. I haven't recorded. It's been a minute since I recorded an episode, but school's winding down, so got to do the school stuff first. But school's pretty much over now. I got one more final to take, and then I'll be back on the grind, giving you guys podcasts and everything you like. Today, we're going to talk about Avengers Infinity War. Going to start off, spoiler warning right off the bat. I gave you guys 2 weeks to go see it. If you haven't gone to see it, then that's your fault. And you might as well just go ahead and skip this first segment if you haven't seen it, if you don't want it ruined for you. For those of you that have seen it, we'll talk about that. Some of my favorite moments from the movie. And might dive into a little bit of what you can expect. Well, not what you can expect, like what I think is going to happen in Avengers 4. We're going to talk about LeBron. Will he ever stop? Spoiler warning, the answer is no. We'll talk about that. And then we might even throw in some baseball in there. And as usual, like I always say every week, whatever else comes to mind, we'll run with it and put it on the show. Without further ado, let's get into it, guys. Before I even start talking about Avengers Infinity War, I gotta say, I know 99.9% of my followers, or the people that listen to this podcast, you guys don't watch hockey, so you guys don't really know, like, you know how this plays out. Like, you may know, like, who's a good team, who's a bad team. It's like, when you're watching it, you're not really, like, into it. But the Washington Capitals, who are my favorite team, have been my favorite team ever since I started watching hockey, finally made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Beat the Pittsburgh Penguins last night 2-1 in overtime. Won the series 4-2. The first time in 19 years a DC sports team has made it to the conference semis. Last time, 19 years ago, the Nationals, they weren't a team. They were still the Expos. What else? There's a bunch of stuff. 1999, you can go look it up about what was going on in the world in 1999. So 1999 is the last time a DC sports team has been in the conference finals. So that's my squad. I had to give a shout out to them. But let's go ahead and get into... Gosh, I can't even think right now. Let's go ahead and get into Infinity War. If you have not seen Infinity War, like I said in the intro, go ahead and skip this segment, because we're going to talk about some stuff that's going to spoil the movie for you if you have not seen it. For those of you that have seen it, stick around and just go ahead and listen in. First, you got to talk about the intro, because I know a lot of people talking about Loki's death in the beginning. And it was like, oh, well, it's Loki. Like, he's died before. And, like, he's, you know, he's the god of mischief. He's all about illusions and whatnot. So he can't really be dead, can he? I'm sorry to say, if you get choked out by Thanos and have your neck snapped in half, you are dead. Dead as a doornail. Loki is dead. No question about it. Sorry for those. I actually like Loki. I do like Loki. But I have to realize at the same time that if Thanos chokes you out and snaps your neck, you're probably not coming back from that, even with the power of the Infinity Stones. One, mostly because Thanos didn't have the Soul Stone by the time he broke Loki's neck. So the Soul World Theory, that's out for Loki. Because, yeah, boy got his neck snapped. No coming back from that. But in that same sequence where Loki died, Hulk got pieced up. No biscuit, no side, no drink. 6-piece. Done. Thanos whooped his ass. And I ain't never seen nobody do it before. Like, you seen the Hulk, you know, he'll take a beating, keep on trucking. Take a beating, keep on trucking. But Hulk ain't never been pieced up like that. Hulk got pieced up so bad he didn't want to come out the rest of the movie. I saw a Twitter post on there, on a Twitter post on Twitter. It was hilarious. I gotta find it real quick, but okay, I found it. This is the one on the Hulk. Infinity War spoiler alert. When Hulk gets pieced up in the beginning of a movie like he was just some regular dude, I knew Thanos was all about that action. Thanos smacked the Hulk so hard he turned back into Bruce. You know how hard you gotta smack a dude for him to stop being mad? The Hulk at that. This man smacked the Hulk calm, combed his ass up so bad that he refused to get mad again. Straight pacified his ass. He ain't want no type of smoke after them hands touched him. You know how real of a dude you gotta be to put the fear in the Hulk's heart? And punches had that dude like, don't call my phone, Bruce. Like, and it's the truth. That's how bad Hulk got pieced up. There was no coming back from what happened to, there was no coming back from what happened to Hulk. The man got wrecked. And there's no other way around it. But I think, like I said, I was going to talk about what happens in Avengers 4. I don't think there's any reason to believe that Hulk won't be back for Avengers 4. I'm sure Bruce and Hulk will figure out their differences heading into Avengers 4. Shouldn't be too hard to figure out. Be like, Hulk, we just got to fight together, buddy. We can't be getting pieced up like that. Just can't have it. But then, we move to the next scene when Bruce shows up in New York and, you know, Tony finally shows up. And the Squidward joke is my favorite. He's like, yeah, Earth is closed, so get lost, Squidward. It's like those posts where, on Twitter, where it's like, Avengers Infinity War spoilers, but no context, and it's just a picture of Squidward. And it was like all SpongeBob memes, and it was just a picture of Squidward. That was one of my favorite jokes. But like, and we're talking about jokes, I think Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man, like his jokes, they're pretty cool. I mean, he's 15, 16 years old, so he's a kid, and they gotta keep him that, you know, make him act like a kid. So when he's stuck on the ship, and Tony's like, well, first of all, you shouldn't be here. And they had that whole argument, and like, shouldn't be here, yada, yada, yada. And then he's like, well, fine, since you're here, our guy's in trouble. What do you do? And what are we going to do? And Spider-Man's like, oh, yeah. You ever seen a really old movie, Aliens? And honestly, when I first seen it, I've seen the movie twice. And when he first said it, I was like, I don't get it. But then when they did, you know, when they executed the plan, and just sucked, blew a hole in the ship and sucked Ebony Maw into space, I was like, well, I get it now. Because that's how they killed the aliens in Alien. Ha! Smart. The kid's smart. Well, it's not like he didn't design his own. He's smart enough to design his own web fluid. So I'm pretty sure the kid's smart enough to devise a plan to get rid of the enemy. But I mean, I'll talk about a little Tom Holland's Peter Parker / Spider-Man a little bit more later in the segment. But I mean, if you're talking about actors, Robert Downey Jr. has always done a great Iron Man. You know, he's done 3 movies, 2 Avengers movies. Well, 3 Avengers movies now. And he's been great in every single one of them. So, I mean, obviously he's going to be up there as far as, like, the actors that do a good job with their character. I think Chris Pratt does a good job with his character, Peter Quill. Dave Bautista is, you know, like, you don't think of Dave Bautista as an actor. But, I mean, he did act when he was in WWE, so. But, like, The job, as good of a job as he does with Drax, it's really cool to see. Because, like, Drax is, as Rocket described it in the first Guardians of the Galaxy, like, his people, they don't, his, like, species, they don't get metaphors. Like, metaphors are non-existent on his home planet. So, when he tries, as he's trying to learn everything that, basically learn everything that he doesn't know, like metaphors, jokes, and like he doesn't get jokes, basically. So when he tries to make his own jokes, it's just like, you see a side that's like, he doesn't get jokes, but like he's got his own spin on what he interprets a joke to be. And so you had the scene where he's just like, when Gamora and Peter are having their conversation, and he's just like standing there, and he's like, I have mastered the ability to stay perfectly still that I stay. He's like, I have mastered the ability to stay so perfectly still that I'm invisible to the human eye. He's like, and Peter's like, no, don't think so, bro. And he's like, no, I am sure you cannot see me. He's like, you're eating a Zarknut or whatever the snack was. He's like, but my movements are so slow that it is inconceivable to the human eye. And then Mantis walks in and is like, hi, Drax. And he just sits there and he's like, damn it. So, I mean, and then he had the scene where the Guardians show up on the ship with Doctor Strange, Iron Man, and Spider-Man. And there's like, and Peter's like, where's Gamora? And Tony's like, who is Gamora? And Drax goes, oh, do you want better? Why is Gamora? It's like, oh my god. Like, he's starting to get jokes, but like he doesn't fully understand the concept of a joke. And that's probably his best feature. Yeah, that's probably Drax's best feature, and like, I think Dave Bautista does a good job with that. Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch, he does a good job with his character. Because he's got to, like, Doctor Strange is protector of Earth's reality. So, the things you don't see, that's what he protects. And he protects that and the Time Stone. But you get the picture. Like, he protects that which he protects your reality to make sure your reality is safe. So he's got to kind of like, everything he knows is not on the same level as what Tony Stark and everybody else knows. Like, Tony Stark is a smart guy. He realizes there's, you know, all this other stuff out there that's not of Earth, I guess you could say, or not human-like. So he gets that, but he doesn't get, you know, Doctor Strange's position, because he knows Doctor Strange has the Infinity Stone. He's like, why don't we just get rid of this one? No can do, sir. Gotta protect over our life. And I guess it's like, I've always said Tony Stark is the equivalent to Batman. Is Marvel's equivalent to Batman? He's always got a plan, or at least tries to have a plan. And he's always got, you know, Tony Stark usually has a way out. Batman always had a way out, and Tony Stark's the same way. So, like, when they get to Titan, and it's like, I guess their original plan, it's not that bad of a plan, I guess. Because, yeah, they could have turned the ship around and just went back to Earth with the Time Stone and Ebony Maw dead and Thanos not even coming close to getting the Time Stone at that point. Yeah, they could have turned around, but at the same time, you were going to have to fight Thanos sooner or later. So, I mean, as far as Thanos knows, Ebony Maw and Doctor Strange are the only two people on that ship. They're supposed to be the only two people on that ship. And regardless, Doctor Strange has either given up the Time Stone or he's dead by the time Maw is supposed to get to Titan. So, it makes sense. You had the Guardians, or you had Drax, Peter Quill, Mantis, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange. You had those six people that Thanos has no clue is coming. He has no clue they're there. So regardless of if he has X amount of Infinity Stones, like, he still doesn't know that they're there waiting for him to come and they can ambush him, which they did, and they almost successfully got the Infinity Gauntlet off. And Peter Quill, I'm gonna use the line from the ending of the movie where little child Gamora is like, what did it cost you? Peter Quill, you cost me everything. With that stunt you pulled. Oh my gosh. You had the Infinity Gauntlet off. That's the crazy part. Like, you had it off. And then you blew it. You blew it. And Tony even tried to tell Peter, he's like, dude, you gotta keep your cool. We almost got this thing off. Like, it's almost off. We almost got it off. And, like, Tony was smart about this. He's like, we don't want to tussle with this guy. Like, even if he has, even if he had only had the two Infinity Stones that Banner told him about at the beginning of the movie, it's still two Infinity Stones. You don't want to tussle with this guy. Tony Stark was like, we don't want to tussle with this guy. We just want to get the gauntlet. Which is how the original comics and the cartoon went. And the Avengers cartoon went. All they want to do is just get the gauntlet off his hand, because obviously that's pretty much the source of his powers. You just get the gauntlet off his hand, Thanos is just a regular Mad Titan. And they, I mean, and theoretically he'd be easier to kill. Well, not even theoretically. He would be easier to kill if he didn't have the Infinity Gauntlet. So, Tony, smart man, smart plan. Just get the gauntlet off his hand. That's all we gotta do. Just get the gauntlet off his hand. Now, I'm not gonna lie, the cartoon, the comics, they made it look a lot easier than it was in the movie, because in the movie, they made that shit damn near impossible to get off his hand. And by the time they did, it was too late, because Peter literally had that thing right off his hand until he woke up and snatched it back and then proceeded to throw a moon at everybody. But one of my favorite lines was when, after he threw the moon at everybody and Tony Stark shows back up, and he's like, if you throw another moon at me, I'm gonna lose it. I'm like, okay, yeah, dude, he threw a moon at you. What are you gonna do about that? Love you, Tony, but you're not gonna do much about him throwing a moon at you. It's just not gonna happen. But before I talk about when Thanos gets to Earth, Thor was easily the best character of this movie. He went from near-death experience, watching his brother die, to basically being saved by the Guardians, to let's go to a dying star, find out it's been dormant for X amount of years, and I'm gonna take the entire full force of a dying star to forge a new weapon. And then I'm gonna show up in Wakanda with the greatest entrance in Marvel Cinematic Universe history and start piecing up Thanos' army like they're a bunch of chumps. And then say, bring me Thanos, like it ain't nothing. It's nothing. It was nothing to Thanos, to Thor. As soon as Thor got that new hammer, it was a wrap for everybody. It was a wrap for Thanos. But obviously, Thor didn't hit him in the head, so it really wasn't that much of a wrap for him. But when he came back, when Thor came back after Thanos got through piecing up everybody and using the time stone to get the stone out of Vision's head, get the stone out of Vision's forehead, and cracking his skull like a walnut, Thor came in there. I don't even care if you got all at this point, Thanos has all 6 Infinity Stones when Thor shows back up after he's done taking out Thanos' army. Thor shows back up, Thanos has all 6 Infinity Stones, and Thor still gets that man with the biggest lightning bolt. It was bigger than the one in Thor Ragnarok. And then threw that hammer so hard, went right through, you know, the power of the 6 Infinity Stones and right into that nigga's chest. Right into his chest. At that point, it was like, okay, alright, Thor. Gotta give you a round of applause. Of course, Thanos still did his thing. I don't even know if I want to tell you what he did. I mean, now I'm going to say it because, like I said, if you hadn't seen the movie, you were supposed to skip this segment. And if you had seen the movie, then, yeah, we've seen it. So after Thanos snaps his fingers and, you know, wipes out half the planet, it was like, damn, we had him. We were right there. Actually, I can't even say we had them. Thor had them. Y'all didn't do nothing to help save the planet. Everybody got tossed aside like they was, you know, a little rag doll. Like, oh, flick, 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 flick. Who threw this little piece of paper at me? Flick, flick. Thor was the only one that actually did something to stop Thanos. Well, mostly because Thor's the only one that could actually do something to stop Thanos. Thor and Tony would probably be the only ones that could actually, A, either strong enough or B, devise a plan to make Thanos vulnerable. But yes, Thor, best character in the movie. As for Peter, the most tragic death in cinematic history. Groot had the second, you know, Tom Holland improvised that entire death scene, and that shit had me, I was already in tears first, when I first seen the movie and saw him die, but then after I found out he improvised that scene, I was like, I had another breakdown, I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, 10 years just to see this happen, like, I was hurt in the soul. But, I guess in Avengers 4, here's, like, some of the theories that are floating around for Avengers 4, is that Nebula, in the original comics, Nebula takes the Infinity Gauntlet from Thanos and restores all the lives lost from Thanos wiping out half the planet. So Nebula takes the Infinity Gauntlet and restores everything, restores everybody's lives that was killed by Thanos snapping his fingers. So Gamora, Vision, Loki, they're not in that group because they died, you know, a different kind of death. They died naturally, I guess you could say, quote unquote, naturally. I mean, I guess we could see a version of, did I say Gamora? I mean, no, I said Nebula. I guess in Avengers 4, we could see a scenario where Nebula gets her hand on the Infinity Gauntlet, but in the comics, Nebula has the Infinity Gauntlet, restores everybody, but the problem is she still has the Infinity Gauntlet. So Adam Warlock disrupts the Infinity Gauntlet from the Soul World long enough to where she has to take it off, and then Adam Warlock wields the Infinity Gauntlet. Obviously, we have not seen Adam Warlock in any of the Marvel movies, so I guess they could, Doctor Strange died from the snapping of the fingers, so theoretically he would be, if that's where they went, that's the direction they went, Doctor Strange would be in the Soul World. Now, A, either they could introduce Adam Warlock in the Soul World, or B, you could just have Doctor Strange be the person that disrupts the Infinity Gauntlet to where either Thanos or Nebula, if she were to take the Infinity Gauntlet from Thanos, they, one of them has to remove it. And I still think the people that died from the snap will be restored, but the Marvel heads, Kevin Feige and those guys, they've kind of said that everybody that died could stay dead, and they've kind of stuck to their guns on that. They've said it over and over again, but like, I still don't believe. Especially with, you have another Guardians of the Galaxy next year, you have another Spider-Man, you have presumably another Black Panther. All three of those movies are characters that died, so I don't see how, and you can't alter the timeline. You can't alter the timeline in such a way that it happens in between their respective movies and Avengers Infinity War. Like, I don't see a scenario where you can alter, not alter your timeline, but like finagle this thing to where you can fit this in between their respective movies and Infinity War. So I'm pretty sure a lot of that is just way too close together, especially Black Panther. Like, in real time, it's too close together to add in another movie and manipulate the timeline. It just probably can't work that way. But we will see Captain Marvel in Avengers 4. We will see Captain Marvel. There was the thought that we would actually see her make an appearance in the movie. but then, but she was scheduled to be in the movie. She was slated to actually be in the movie, but they cut her out and just decided we're going to put her in Avengers 4. But, I mean, it's a lot. The movie's a lot to digest. That much is simple. It's a lot to digest, and I had to go see it twice just to, you know, fully digest all of it. Like, it's one of those movies, as big as a fan of Marvel and superheroes and, you know, all everything Marvel is doing with their movies, it's not hard to follow. It's just a lot to digest. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with a lot to digest, because going into the movie, you knew there was going to be a lot to digest. And you just kind of had to deal with that. Just like when you're watching the movie, how they're on 3-4 different planets at the same time, you got to jump from one planet to another, you jump back to another planet, go to this planet, and like you're following Thor, what he's doing, then you're following the Guardians where they're chasing Thanos, you're following Tony and Spider-Man as they go to Titan, and then you're following everybody else on Earth. Like, it's a lot to follow, but you knew that going in, so you're kind of prepared for it. Like, you don't like a movie when you're on X amount of different places and you just keep jumping and jumping and jumping and jumping. And like, it only works if A, you have a movie of this scale with this many characters and this many personalities and so many different things going on that are important. It's not like what's going on isn't important to the movie. Like, everything that's happening is important to the whole collective movie. So like, every different planet you go to, or every different place you go to, it's important to what's going on in the grand scheme of things. So but I mean, all in all, Cameron, my buddy Cameron, I talk about him a lot on this podcast, he gave a B movie with an A villain, with an A plus villain, with a shitty reasoning for his plans. I said, you don't really need that much of a reasoning. I'm gonna kill people. Resources are finite. I'm gonna wipe off half the planet. The end. That's all you need. He's a villain. Villains have never been too meticulous about their plans. The only meticulous villain you'd probably ever meet was Lex Luthor. So, and even then, his was kind of, he still failed. That's the point I'm trying to make. So, as far as villains goes, you don't really need that meticulous of a thought process with them. You got his backstory. Thanos was on Titan. He told the people that, you know, their resources were finite. Their planet is going to die. And they didn't listen. When it happened, he's a lone survivor. So, there you go. That's all you need. Now, in the original comic books, Thanos wipes out half the universe to impress the living embodiment of death. Yeah, I mean, Hela's the goddess of death in the MCU. And yes, we have seen Hela in a movie before, and they've introduced her. They have not introduced her in relation to Thanos. So that's a little bit much. That's a little bit much to do. And you can't, like, it'd be contradicting yourself to come up with a whole different character to be the physical embodiment of death when you have Hela, the goddess of death. So that's what I got for Avengers and for Infinity War. Hopefully, if you hadn't seen it, you actually skipped this segment. If you had, I hope you liked it as much as I did, because I really enjoyed it. I've seen it twice, and I'm definitely gonna watch it a lot when it comes out on DVD in preparation for Avengers 4. But that's all I got. We're moving on to the next topic. Will LeBron James ever stop? The answer is no. Alright, we're back. We're going to talk about LeBron James and the playoffs and the fact that the Toronto Raptors will probably never, as long as LeBron James is in the NBA, they'll probably never beat a LeBron James-led team. Now, whether that's with the Cavs, with the 76ers, whether that's with the YMCA team down the street, Toronto Raptors probably ain't going to never beat LeBron. And it's sad. At this point, I felt bad for them at first, but now at this point, I just don't. I can't. You can't feel bad for them, because this was supposedly the Raptors' year, but Okay, this was supposedly the Raptors' year. This is, you know, as we know, as far as the roster construction goes, this is probably the worst team LeBron's had since he's been in Cleveland. And all of this is very true. There's a reason the Raptors were the one seed going into the playoffs, and there's a reason the Cavs were the four seed going into the playoffs. But then LeBron continuously reminds us that there are two seasons in the NBA. There's the regular season, and there's the postseason. And LeBron James has mastered the art of not giving a shit about the regular season, but then when the postseason comes around, you can't touch him. You can't touch LeBron when it comes to the postseason. And it's insane. As much as you want to hate on it, as much as you, if you don't like LeBron, that's fine. But you have to realize what he's done to the teams in the Eastern Conference is nothing short of amazing. Especially the Raptors. Like, Toronto has to be renamed LeBronto officially after what LeBron did to the Raptors. It has to be. You have no other choice. We have to rename that place LeBronto. Drake does not own that city anymore. LeBron James owns that city. He lives there rent-free. From now on, he lives there rent-free. But Pete, like, check these numbers out. In this series, 4-game sweep. LeBron, 136 points, 33 rebounds, 45 assists, 57 for 103 shooting, which is 53-54% from the floor. That's LeBron James by himself. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry combined had 138 points, 30 rebounds, 46 assists, and shot 53 for 108 from the floor, which is 49-48% from the floor. So, LeBron bested them in rebounds and shooting percentage. It was only one assist behind them and 2 points behind them. That's DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry combined. LeBron James put those numbers up by himself. I don't know if that's more of an indictment on how great LeBron James is, because we know he's great. He's probably the best to ever play the game. Or if it's an indictment on Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan coming up short once again when the team needs him. And, like, you would think the Raptors, A, would have been better prepared. B, would have stood a better chance because of the Raptors. The Raptors rosters and the Cavaliers roster and how they're both constructed. And C, there's no way they could have got swept. Going into the series, there's no way the Raptors could have got swept for the second year in a row. Especially when the rules are reversed and the Cavaliers are the underdog. They're the lower seeded team. It's crazy to think about. Like, every time you think this is it for LeBron, he turns around and says, no, it's over when I say it's over. And I came to grips with this when he was at four straight finals with the Miami Heat. Well, when he made the first finals, when he got back to Cleveland. When they lost the first finals to the Golden State Warriors. That's when I came to grips with the fact that as long as LeBron is playing and healthy, as long as those things are in pass or in play, the Cavaliers or whatever team LeBron is on, they're going to the finals. There's a reason he's been to seven straight finals, and I came to grips with that a few years ago. As long as LeBron is playing, as long as LeBron is healthy, they're going to the finals. It doesn't matter what the roster looks like, what they did in the regular season, what their seeding is. They could be an 8 seed. It doesn't matter. They're going to the finals. And until he doesn't make the finals, when this season, after LeBron makes another finals, after he beats Philadelphia or Boston in the conference finals again, and after the NBA finals is over this year, whether he wins or loses, when that sports book comes out, on Bovada, BetOnline, whatever betting website you use, when that sports book comes out for conference champions, you put down whatever team LeBron is on as the conference champion. Because whatever team LeBron is on, they're going to the finals. And until they don't go to the finals, I'm under the impression that they are going to the finals. And then it is impossible to convince me otherwise. You will not convince me otherwise that he won't make the finals. Because you tried this year. You clearly tried. And you had very valid arguments. The arguments were there as to why they wouldn't make the finals. Like, you had some very valid arguments. But then, while you make those arguments, all I have to do is say, out of all those teams, Boston, Philadelphia, Toronto, Washington, who else made the playoffs in the East? The Bucks and the Pacers. Out of all those teams, what do the Cavs have that those teams don't have? And the answer is LeBron James. It's that simple. The answer is LeBron James. They don't have LeBron. The Cavs do, which is why they're going to the finals. Let's see. Beginning in the 2012 playoffs, LeBron has played 5 series against the Pacers and 15 series against other Eastern Conference teams. In the 5 series against the Pacers, the Pacers have won 10 games. In the 15 other series, those teams have won a total of 11. So, when LeBron went to 7 games against the Pacers, it should be nothing new that Pacers have given LeBron trouble in the past, especially when Paul George was there. Pacers have given LeBron trouble in the past, and it's just one of those things. It's like, of course, LeBron's going to come out on top every single time, but the Pacers have gotten the closest to dethroning him. And, I mean, good on the Pacers. I mean, they were never going to beat LeBron in the first round, which just wasn't going to happen. There was no chance of LeBron ever losing a first-round matchup. You can take it 7 games all you want to. LeBron is not losing a first-round matchup. It's not happening. But, okay, check this out. This is all what LeBron did to the Raptors. This is all coming out after LeBron beats the Raptors. And it's sad, too. Worst loss by a 1 seed when being eliminated from the East playoffs since 1984. This is the worst margin of defeat that a team has taken when they've been eliminated. That a 1 seed has taken when being eliminated. The Raptors lost by 35. Monday night, Raptors lost by 35. Last year, the Celtics lost by 33. In 2015, the Hawks lost by 30. In 2014, the Pacers lost by 25. What do all four of those teams have in common? Those are the four worst losses by a 1 seed when being eliminated. All four of those teams, what do they have in common? They all lost to LeBron. Wow. Like, the numbers just, the story writes itself. That's, like, the best way I can put it. Like, the story writes itself. Like, you don't have to like LeBron. I'm, like, if you don't like him, I don't know why you wouldn't. Because, like, when you watch LeBron, it's just absolute dominance. And you can't touch him. So, I don't know how you can, like, okay, maybe you don't enjoy the fact that he's made 7 straight NBA finals and you just want somebody else to make it. That's fine. You want parity in the league. I get that. Parity is nice for any league. But you're not getting in the, you're not in today's NBA with Golden State. You might get this year with Houston, and their legitimate chance to make the finals over Golden State. You're not getting in the Eastern Conference, and you weren't getting it the past 3 years with Golden State and Cleveland. Like, you knew when the season started, Golden State, Cleveland, finals, book it, just get ready for it. Now this year, obviously in the Western Conference, the Houston Rockets have a legitimate chance to dethrone the Golden State Warriors as Western Conference champions, but nobody is dethroning LeBron in the Eastern Conference. It's not happening. I don't care if Philadelphia comes back from a 3-1 deficit. Philadelphia is going to come back from a 3-0 deficit just to make LeBron actually play defense for once on Ben Simmons and hold Ben Simmons to 10 points on 5 on 4 of 15 shooting. Because, you know, everybody knows LeBron don't play defense until we get to the postseason. And I don't care if you put the 15 years of mileage on him. He's mastered. Brian Windhorst had a piece talking about has LeBron mastered the art of resting while playing? And when you play the minutes LeBron does, which is around 42, 43 minutes in a playoff game, besides, you know, game four when they blew out the Raptors, like when the game's close or game's within reach, LeBron's going to play 42, 43 minutes a game. It's that simple. He's not coming off the floor, and he's some, I get that it seems like he's mastered the ability to rest on the floor while the game's going. And if that's the case, then, you know, you can bump that 43 minutes up to 45 minutes when you need it. But LeBron James, okay, let me hit you with another couple. We're going to hit you with another couple numbers. LeBron James has been a part of a sweep in an NBA record 6 consecutive seasons. So he swept somebody for 6 straight years. 3 players are tied for second, and they're his teammates, Kevin Love, J.R. Smith, Tristan Thompson. They have 4. So this dates back to his days in Miami. Been a part of 6 sweeps in six consecutive seasons. He's been part of, he's swept somebody. In the 4 years he's been in Cleveland, his teammates, K-Love, J.R., Tristan, they've been a part of a sweep as well. And so this goes back to 2 years when, 2 years, he was in Miami. And LeBron James is also going to the Eastern Conference Finals for the 10th time in the past 12 seasons. The only time he... The only time LeBron didn't make an Eastern Conference Finals was the year they lost to Orlando in the second round. And then they had another one where they lost to Boston. Oh, yeah, the year... I can't remember if the year they lost to Boston right before... The year before... The year going into the offseason that LeBron left. I can't remember if that was in the Eastern Conference semis or if it was the Eastern Conference finals. I'm pretty sure it was the conference semifinals. But I think those are the only 2 years that LeBron hasn't... The only 2 times in the past 12 years that LeBron hasn't been to the conference finals. It's crazy, like... It's crazy how we continue to doubt LeBron doing these things that we thought would never be done. You never thought somebody would go to 7 straight, pushing 8 straight finals. You never thought that would happen. All right. Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert are third with 3. They were part of 3 straight years of sweeps, and those are obviously the years with LeBron James. But just to put in perspective of how dominant LeBron has been, not only in the 15 years, but in this playoff. I don't know why I keep yawning, because I'm not tired. Well, I am tired of people saying LeBron ain't the GOAT. But 50 players from the 2003 draft are no longer in the NBA. LeBron James, in this playoff, he's averaging 35, 9, 9, a block, and a steal a game on 57% shooting. So, while 50 people are no longer in the NBA, sitting at home, you know, doing whatever they do after basketball, whatever they're doing in life after basketball, LeBron's out here putting up a pedestrian 35 a game, averaging near a triple-double, 35, 9, and 9. So, yeah, cool. another one, LeBron has been his team's outright leader in points, rebounds, and assists in 45 playoff games. MJ, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Hakeem Olajuwon, Tim Duncan have 45 such games combined. That pretty much, the numbers, every time you bring it up, the numbers will speak for themselves. When you talk about LeBron James, you don't have to say anything, you can just pull up the numbers and they speak for themselves. It is insane. I just like, because if you want to ask me about something LeBron James, I'm going to just pull up the numbers. That's all you got to do. Most postseasons with 300 points, 100 plus rebounds, 75 assists. LeBron James, 13. Next closest, Larry Bird, 6. Most consecutive postseasons of 30, 175. No one else has more than 3. After Magic and Bird, who have 5. Oh, I'm sorry. So, most postseasons with 300 points, 100 rebounds, 75 assists, LeBron James has 13. Next closest, Larry Bird 6, Magic 6, Kobe 6, MJ 6. And LeBron has done it in all 13 of his postseason appearances. He's 15 years, because he didn't make playoffs the first two years of his career, he didn't make playoffs. And then when that third year, that's when the wheels started turning, and it was playoffs. Now, the most consecutive postseasons of 3,175, LeBron James, 13. All 13 of the years, he's been to playoffs 13 straight years. He's put up those numbers 13 straight times. Magic and Larry Bird had 5. No one else has got more than 3. So MJ never did it more than 3 times. Kobe never did it more than 3 times. And nobody else. No other person you could think of never did it more than 3 times. It's... the numbers are staggering. And every time you look at them, they speak for themselves, and you cannot touch this man. So, when people ask, if anybody ever asked you, will LeBron ever stop? The answer is no. LeBron will stop. Let me rephrase. LeBron will stop when he decides to stop. Nobody is going to... until he's actually dethroned and, like, I'm convinced that, like, you can clearly see, like, it's time, LeBron. Nobody's going to dethrone LeBron. He's going to dethrone himself. He's going to say, all right, I'm good to go. And he's already, he's actually talked about hopefully staying in the league long enough to play with his son, or play with or against his son, his oldest son, Bronny Jr. His oldest son is approaching high school, I believe. So he's got another, 5-6 years? And LeBron honestly has another 5-6 years of elite basketball in him. Especially with the way he takes care of his body and just like, the, you know, his physical makeup and the work he puts in to play the 82 games he played this year and to play the minutes he plays in the postseason. Like, he takes... the amount of work he puts in off the court is ridiculous, mentally and physically. So, LeBron, nobody's going to stop LeBron. LeBron can only stop himself. They got a bunch of Thanos memes, too. They had a bunch of Avengers memes with LeBron, too. There was one, it was, I may snap my fingers and home court advantage shall exist. How your home court advantage shall cease to exist. And it's like, you know, going back to what Thanos says, I may snap my fingers and you all cease to exist. And then... I'm looking at another one right now. It's, you know, you got LeBron's face photoshopped over Thanos, and he says, I hope they remember you, and you got Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan fading into dust. I don't feel so good, Drake. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. I'm going to retweet one because it's a video, so you'll have to go to my Twitter profile to see it. It's... that one, that's a good one. They're all good. I mean, turn that 2-0 to a 3-0, saw that one. There's just so many. There's just so many of them out there. But, I mean, every time. But, like I said, you have to ask yourself, am I really going to not count? Am I really going to count LeBron out? And the answer, if you do, you're stupid. So you shouldn't. You shouldn't ever count LeBron out. There's no reason to count him out. But I mean, that's all I got on LeBron. That's second round stuff. The other series are winding down. Houston and Golden State are 3-1. So instead of just overviewing that series, because we know where those are headed, I'll just wait till the next episode to talk about Houston versus Golden State. And hopefully they finish up today's Tuesday. Hopefully they finish up their series tonight. That way I can get the numbers on that sooner rather than having to wait until somebody tweets it out. But hey guys, that's all I got for the show today. We're at about an hour long. As usual, guys, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at TrailerDay23. I did set up a Twitter account for the podcast specifically where I tweet out. I'm just going to use it to tweet out, you know, stuff for the podcast, stuff I write, interesting reads, articles, posts, you know, and just sports and basically anything I would say on this podcast, I'll be tweeting in that general, having those general tweets on the podcast Twitter account. And the handle for that is the same as the show, Today with Trey. Today with Trey. So you can go check that out. I'm probably going to do a Facebook page here pretty soon. We will do a giveaway at some point. I don't know when. I don't know what. But we are going to do a giveaway. And the only way you can be entered into that giveaway is if you subscribe and leave a rating. Actually, you don't even have to subscribe. Leave a rating, follow the Twitter account. Not my personal one, but the podcast Twitter account. And you'll be entered in for the giveaway. Don't know when. Don't know what. But I can promise you a giveaway will come in the near future. It'll probably be sometime this summer. And I'll probably make it worth your while. Maybe Royals tickets. Who knows? But the only way you can get in, the only way you can be entered into that giveaway is if you follow the Twitter account and leave a rating on the podcast. You can do it. Which is always easier to leave a rating on the podcast is if you listen to it on iTunes. Which is usually the link I tweet out is the iTunes link. Because you can always listen to it on Anchor, and there's a couple other platforms you can listen to the podcast on, but I usually tweet out the iTunes one because it's easier. So that's all I got for today, guys. We'll have some more. If for those of you who already follow the Twitter account, I said I was going to try and start doing, instead of just doing one episode a week, I'll try to do a couple episodes, maybe two or three episodes a week. Might do two for now, but we could bump up to three. But because of you guys and the listeners, like, you guys make the podcast. So thank you guys. Like, you guys allow me to do my podcast, and you guys allow me to, you know, I can get to where I can do more than one episode a week. So definitely got to say thank you to you guys there. So just keep listening. Soon enough, we will start doing mailbag, whatever you want to call it. We'll start doing mailbag segments. But the only way we can do mailbag segments is if you guys actually send in questions. So if you send in questions, we can get the mailbag segment started sooner rather than later. So you can, now the mailbag questions, you can send them to my personal Twitter, or you can send them to the podcast Twitter. It doesn't matter. I'll get them in. But thanks, guys. That's been another episode of the Today with Trey podcast. I will see you next time.